Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Andy Mason, and today we've got a treat for you. We've got actually two things. One is a podcast interview that I did with Shay Bynes, who is the Chief Fire Igniter with Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur on the East Coast. Wonderful, wonderful friend. You can find out more about her at Kingdom Driven Entrepreneur. Secondly, there is a download activation for you to do. And this was put together by a very, very good friend, mentor, business leader, speaker at Heaven and Business conferences. And his name is Doug Hignall. Doug founded and led the Hignall Companies in Chico, a large property management company. And I would say that he was a CEO by trade, but a friend of God by occupation. He died in 2019, but was a key friend, encourager, advisor to me as we launched Heaven and Business. And what you see there, his life was learning to live from principles, and then learning to live from performance, and then learning to live from presence. He went on this journey between those three, and it was a continuum. And what you'll see in this activation is a chart where you can actually map yourself. Are you living from anxiety or fear, or are you living from peace and joy? Are you living from the praise of others, or from the praise of God? Are you living from God is always angry, or are you living from God is always good? You can plot where you are, give yourself a self-checkup or an inventory of where you're at in terms of living from performance or living from your identity in the presence of God. And then at the end of that, it's got some questions for you to actually adjust that and align your identity with God. Super good, super value. So what does it mean to live from rest, to live from the presence of God? Well, here's my understanding. If you're a business person, most of us get our value from what we do, whether we're accomplishing or not accomplishing, whether we're getting results or not getting results. Our value, our worth comes from what we do. Here's the problem. When things don't go well, or we can't control the outcome, we get jacked up, messed up, waking up in the night full of anxiety, which is all evidence of an inferior kingdom. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And when I come to know who I really am, that I'm a child of God, that my value is already established, when I wake up in the morning, I'm already loved, accepted, adored, and connected. So I get to live from rest, not for rest. I'm living from value, not for value. It doesn't mean that I don't work. It actually means my work is far more productive and fruitful because I'm living from flow, not from rush. I'm living from peace, not from hurry. So I trust this is going to be of value to you. It's certainly a life message. You can find more in the book, God With You at Work. You'll find that on Amazon. That's by Andy Mason. I happen to know him really well. But enjoy this conversation with Shay Bynes and myself, and then download the activation. You'll find the link below. And I trust you to have a wonderful week discovering what it is to live from the performance of rest.
So I want to start off with this, because I want to read this section that I highlighted in this book that you wrote, God With You at Work, and just kind of start our conversation here, okay? So what you said in the book here is, in his offer of partnership, God brings a lot to the table. You get all of him. That's like having a billionaire philanthropist super genius as your devoted and loyal business partner. It's not an equal offer, not even close. And then later on you talk about, this is a crazy offer from our perspective. Most people don't believe the offer, so they don't even test it out. Others desperately want to access his resources, but try to do it on their own terms. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer, but rests on few, because few have made him a place of rest. Wow.
That sounds really good.
You wrote that, you know?
Yeah.
Talk to us about this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the context is for my personal journey and background in business, I understand what it is to perform. And I understand a performance culture, a performance pay. It's the way we treat people. It's the way we value people in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And as in, if you perform, You get bonuses if you perform your business growth. There's so many things like that.
Yes.
So that is not necessarily all bad. The real issue behind it is where I obtain my value from my performance. Because then what that leads to is you perform in order to try and obtain more value or to feel good about yourself. And the opposite is also true. When things don't go according to what you expect or plan or desire, then you consider yourself of no value. So when I start to value people based on what how they can perform or what they do or don't do, I've missed it. The whole adopted into God's family, that whole identity, my identity in him comes not from what I could do. That's the whole point. Yeah. Otherwise, Jesus would have never come. Our identity, our value comes from knowing and experiencing what it is to be a child of God. And then from that place, I work from that place of rest. I work from that place of value, from that place of identity. And then the results are actually far greater because I can live from flow, rest, and the rest is history. I better qualify that. I'm just saying the rest is history. I'm on a lifelong journey of learning this. Oh, I so wish I just got it.
Yeah.
But here's an example. Last week, so this is literally a week ago, 1 week ago, I got notification from our accountant that we had a surprise $15,000 tax bill. Now, I don't know about you, but that my immediate reaction was not sing hallelujah. I just freaked out. I'm yes. like, okay, how are we going to do this? What are we going to do? So many different things from, okay, we can. How can I scrape together? Okay, I might have just enough to scrape everything together from all our money set aside, bits yeah. and pieces to pay that tax bill. But oh, I've got school fees coming up for the kids. How am I going to do that? What? Okay, medical insurance. All these. How are we going to do that? And that level of anxiety rises.
Yes.
And on top of it, oh, you stupid idiot! Did you not steward this well enough? You should have planned more. And I start beating myself up as yes. well as, which only adds to the stress and the anxiety. So I managed to keep that heart of anxiety all evening and then get up in the morning, which was really, I'm manifesting the journey of, I'm still on this journey of learning to live from this connection with God yeah. and the, where do I go first? I get up in the morning and just like, okay, I've got to get the kids to school and then I'm spending time with God. And he just directs me to Romans 4, which is where I've been stuck lately anyway. This whole journey of you cannot work for that which is a gift. If you work for what is a gift, it's no longer a gift, it's wages. So do you want wages or do you want promise? Do you want what God can give or do you want your own ability? Yeah. And so he just keeps like, Andy, come back to alignment with me. Trust me. Remember who got you this far. Remember. And so I start to remember what he's done. Remember he's provided. Anxiety starts to get replaced with peace. Realign. Okay, God, I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm starting to trust you.
Yeah.
I then walk out of that time and my wife bumps into me and says, honey, you need to do what we do with our 8-year-old. And this is really good. So what we do with our 8-year-old is she's been struggling with fear. Mm-hmm. So we get her to write down some of the things that she's afraid of
okay.
onto a piece of tissue paper. And so we get her to write it on that, write them all down, and then we pray over it, and then we tear it up.
Nice.
Which is very easy. It's like these things, that's how thin they really
yes.
are.
Yes.
So I'm thought, babe, you're right. I should do that. So I took, rather than just me do it, I did it with a whole, we had our last Heaven and Business track session in the School of Ministry. So I told everybody what I'm going through. If I'm going to go through this, everybody's going to get through from what I'm struggling with. Plus I knew they were all facing different fears as they're leaving
yeah.
Their school environment and heading into real life.
Yes.
So we all did it, all did communion. I get back to the office about, must have been just after 12, and there's an email from my accountant saying, call me. We've got a few questions. Called, had those few questions, and she responded by saying, hey, from what you're saying, that level of, you know, there's a certain particular check that we received last year. She goes, that was actually a gift. It was outside all these reasons.
Yes.
It's actually not taxable. So the $15,000 tax bill became zero.
Wow.
I'm just like, Jesus, you knew that all along. But this was an opportunity for me to grow again in, okay, my response to pressure, conflict is just a mirror, or you would say mirror, to what's really going on inside me, and where am I leveraging my connection with an eternal God who's never moved? He knows exactly what's going to happen. He's not worried about the president, who's not president, happening over. He's anchored and solid. Where do I turn to that? Or do I turn to my own ability? And I just want to say this is a continual journey of learning to trust.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's interesting. So it's one of those things where it's like you find yourself in the midst of the situation, and sometimes we have a temporary lapse. We forget, right? We forget. Yep. And so it's just a matter of getting back to the source.
And I think also that we're supposed to be continually facing bigger and more challenging situations. So every time that happens, it's a new level. It's you're not just going around, around, around at the same level. You're going around and up.
Yes.
Every time. And that's really encouraging. I was just reading Deuteronomy this morning where it talks about the Israelites going into their promised land. Mm-hmm. And it says very clearly, they are more and mightier than you are. They're actually bigger, stronger than you. But that's the whole point. The point is then everybody will know that it's the Lord, the great and awesome God, who is with you. And he is among you. And I'm like, don't think it's your own righteousness, your own ability. Actually, just so that you guys remember, you were the ones that were stubborn and rebellious.
That's right.
There is nothing that you could do on your own. It is God and his goodness. And I'm like, okay, that's a really good reminder.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You know, there was something else that you had shared. It was just like a quick one-liner that hit me really hard. And you said anxiety is evidence of an inferior kingdom.
Yeah.
What did you mean?
And yeah, that's absolutely true. So, I mean, 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. So fear and love are mortal enemies. You cannot have both coexisting. And so whenever I'm manifesting or fear and anxiety, so God is love, correct?
That's
so
it.
You don't have love and fear coexisting. It's like when God's there, it's the more that you get in his presence, the more that you're aware of him, the less fear there is.
Yeah.
It's actually you become fearless. So whenever I have anxiety or fear showing up in my life, it's an indication of an inferior kingdom, as in it's not the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is love, joy, and peace.
Yes.
And my decisions are made from love, joy, and peace. Not I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, I'm afraid of this. The sad thing is most businesses and many business decisions are based out of fear. I'm going to do this in case this happens, rather than vision and love and hope. So, yeah, that's that context is anxiety is evidence of an inferior kingdom manifesting in our lives, but really it's an invitation to okay, I just need to connect more with God, who is the God of love and the God of peace.
Yeah.
And the more I connect with him, it chases away the fear.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So now, Andy, so you have this Heaven in Business initiative, and so you you hold conferences and events and travel and do this across the world. I'm curious to know when you're doing these events and you have an audience of people in the marketplace. I suspect many of them are entrepreneurs. Perhaps some of them are in the corporate environment. But among entrepreneurs, what are some of the things that you're hearing and some of the challenges that you're hearing that people are facing, and how are you kind of addressing them through the work with the Heaven in Business initiative?
Yeah, good question. I mean, the biggest thing, which I love about entrepreneurs is that everything they do is creating something from nothing.
Yes.
Well, hang on. Who's that in the nature of? Like, you're made in the image and likeness of God, who's the creative founding entrepreneur of the universe.
Yes.
So every time you're doing that, business is very much the process of adding value to people, creating something that's going to increase value, life fully alive. That's at its purest sense. So entrepreneur is all about creating something for nothing, not for nothing, preferably.
Right.
Something from nothing, or the process of adding value. So entrepreneurs are continually facing this unseen, unknown realm. They're not making simple decisions. It's always creating something new. So they're continually having to deal with this head trash of what's going on in my head and overcome that in order to move forward. That's one of the greatest things. And that continually pushes on my identity. Where's my trust? What is my source of increase?
Yeah.
Am I performing? I'm failing. Fear of failure. Am I launching a new thing? Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? All of those internal worlds keep getting pushed on. So that's what I love about entrepreneurs. Then we've got a great opportunity to connect with God.
Yes.
He designed it to make something out of nothing. And the more I connect with his heart in the process and feel his pleasure in what I'm doing, and the practical keys from that is, number one is hearing his voice.
Yes.
Knowing what did he say, but also then knowing the priorities. What are the priorities that he's given to me? What's the priorities today? What's the one thing that I can do today that's going to move me forward? Mm-hmm. Some of those real simple, lock it down to, okay, I've just got to keep focusing on what I can do,
yes,
what is in my hand, rather than being overwhelmed. Oh my gosh, am I going to get funding next week? Am I going to be able to pay? Like, don't worry about the bills next week. Just do what you're doing right now,
yes,
and today, and invite them into your day. And Isaiah 64 says, when I wait on him, he works on my behalf.
Yes.
So who wants to have God on your business team? Like,
yeah.
So how do I do that? And so if we can give people keys to – it's not – God doesn't work for me because he's God, but he works with me. It's this crazy, crazy relationship, which seems just so bizarre. Like,
yes.
You know,
like God wants to work with me?
Yeah, like Bill Gates walking up to a four-year-old and saying, hey, my resources are yours. What do you want to
That's
do?
That's right.
I'm like, yeah,
yes.
We're clueless. And yet that's the point, is that when I become aware of my insignificance and my inadequacy and my ability, I'm not going to dwell on that.
That's right.
But I'm aware of my own insignificance. And then I realize his sufficiency and his greatness and his security in me, which is a process. And then I can lean on that. And then what I do comes from that, and everything works so much better. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
And that's this fun, crazy adventure we're on.
That's good. So then what's the sign then, Andy, that you are basically performing? Like, what's the indicator where it's like, hold on, I'm operating out of performance and I'm not operating from rest?
So I can just say from me. So there's a number of them. One, your wife will tell you, your spouse, your spouse,
yes,
may be telling you, hey, you know, we miss you. You're not here. Where are you? Like, I thought we were important to you, and you seem to be putting more of your efforts and time and attention on a business, mm-hmm, that is temporary. And where are you? You're not very fun to be with. So that's one, is the people around you. And that's why it's so important to have people around you that you trust, that really do know you,
yeah,
and you let into your life. And they can, hey, let me know when I'm losing my center, when I'm losing my alignment. So that's number one. Number two, you'll feel it in your body. And so for me personally, I feel stress and anxiety in my shoulders.
Yes.
So I know, okay, mm-hmm, I am beyond that point of trust. I'm carrying now the anxiety in my shoulders. Okay, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
And sometimes that's actually physical. You need to do physical exercise. It could be this, you know, in everyday life that just builds up. So, okay, maybe alignment and maybe so many different things. But the third thing is, now, how's your connection with the Father?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how connected do you feel? 10 is like awesome. Like, we're like, couldn't get closer. One is he's somewhere.
I know he's there.
Yeah,
he's
somewhere.
Right?
he's
Well, and zero is he's with my competitors, but he's not with me. So, I mean, other things that it can show up in is like, how's your sleep at night? And are you finding and finding rest? Yeah. Or is it like you're waking up worried about things? And when you wake up in the morning, is the first thing, okay, I can just lie in bed and just rest for a moment and then think about, okay, how's my connection with God? Before I get out of bed this morning, Father, thank you that I already have value.
Yeah.
Actually, I have so much value that when I was opposed to you and completely twisted in my own ways, that was the point at which you intervened and rescued me and restored a full relationship with you. Thank you. Thank you. My identity is secure in you. My significance, my satisfaction, and my security is in your presence before I do anything.
Yeah.
So our test, where is that one at? I mean, how am I doing? Another one to know is how's the level of flow? You know, when you get into that, you're doing what you're doing, you can flow through your day, whether it's busy or not busy. It's not about being busy or not.
Yes.
You know, rest is a value and identity piece. And it's not about, well, I just sleep all day. No. That's called
say
lazy.
Say it again, Andy.
Yeah. It's a phenomenal disease called ergophobia, in a fear of work.
Yes.
That does
what
not
is
come
that,
from
what God. Is that called?
Yeah. Ergophobia.
Ergophobia.
Yeah. I heard this great joke about that. It's called laziness, really.
Yes.
So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about my value comes from my identity as a son of God, which means that when I rise and when I fall, nothing changes. I'm still anchored in him. Whether I put on that $2 million deal or I don't, I have not changed. And every single time I will learn, I will ask for feedback, I will get better, I will grow, and I'll thank God through the middle of it. But my value is unchanged.
Yeah.
And that's where. But I was talking about, you know, flow through your day is, okay, today I've got a super full day and my wife's got a full day and we've got four kids that have got full days and soccer practice. But I woke up this morning and just lay in bed, held my wife's hand. Next thing, an 8-year-old turns up in bed, boom. And we could just lie there for a moment and just say, Father, thank you that we just commit the whole day to you, every aspect, that you work on our behalf, that you cause things to align. And when I can live my day from that perspective, which we would say is from heaven to earth.
Yes.
When I'm living from earth to heaven, everything's hard work and I'm trying to get a breakthrough and I'm trying this and I'm trying that. But when I just switch my view and remind myself that I'm seated with Christ, so I'm just going to pause for a moment and take 30 seconds to say, actually, and what you can do is sit in your chair, turn towards the wall, close your eyes, and just remember, I'm seated with him. Mm-hmm. He's not even worried about this tax bill. He's not worried about this whatever you may be walking through. He is completely secure in everything that he is. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to worry about it. So that's really what this is about.
That's good. And it's just such a
– Does that make sense?
It does. It makes perfect sense. And it's a really practical way of looking at things. I mean, it's a simple thing to do during the day. Like, I know I can personally feel when it's like I feel – I can tell when I've moved from – I talk about the grace versus the grind. I can tell when I've moved from the grace to the grind, right? And there's signs of it. And whenever I feel it, whenever I feel that, I just stop. I just stop right in the middle of whatever I'm doing. And I just close my eyes. I just might worship. You know, I might put music on and just kind of block out everything.
Yeah.
I might just worship. I just might – you know, it's whatever it is. But it's like I'll just stop right in the middle of it. And take whatever time I need to. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 2 minutes, it could be 10 minutes, whatever, right? But just take that moment to stop. And I tell you what, it's made I haven't always done that. I've only been doing that probably for a few years. But it makes such a difference. And it also helps to get perspective. One of my prayers is always, you know, Lord, help me to see this from your perspective.
Yeah.
You know, help me to have your point of view on this. Help me to see this with your eyes versus what I'm seeing around me, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And it changes things.
So how do you know for you that you're hitting this point of I'm getting into the grind, I am leaning more on my own ability than my billionaire philanthropist friend?
For me, it feels like either something starts to feel way too complicated, way too complex, or I might start to feel really agitated, right, about the situation, or an issue that I'm working through, and I'm just starting to feel too much agitation, about it. Yeah. Those are the typical ones for me. I also have that same thing with my shoulders, but quite honestly, for me, I get that anyway. I could be, I have issues with the tension in my shoulders all the time. It seems probably just from the way I sit, but I can see a different. There's just a difference in my demeanor. A difference in what I'm thinking about. Sometimes it's funny, when we talk about grinding, sometimes it's not like a physical grinding something out, but it's like I'm mentally grinding. Yeah. Like I'm overthinking it, I'm overanalyzing, and it's just getting too complex. It's like, okay, take a step back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I mean, and the other thing for me is restless.
Yeah,
when I just can't, be still and know God, which means the opposite is also true. If you can't be still, there's a measure of God that you cannot access.
Yeah,
so that's Psalm 46. If someone walked up to me and said, "Hey, Andy, I just got this. I feel like God wants to tell you that whenever you feel restless, it's to be a red flag for you." And she goes, "It doesn't seem, I've never had a word, like, that seems so bizarre." And I'm like, "Oh, I know exactly what you're saying." Which is a red flag for me is, okay, whenever I feel restless, like all these things I've got to do, and fight that feeling of being overwhelmed.
Yes.
Or even it's like I'm jacked up on too much caffeine, but I haven't had any. I'm like, okay, I just need to realign. I refuse to make some excuse about ADDH or whatever it is.
ADHD.
ADHD. God's probably got that as well. It's like, no, how do I align myself with heaven's view? And if that means going for a walk, maybe it means doing some activity. It means, remembering is such a big key.
Yeah.
The Israelites, remember who got you through. When you guys were stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked, God provided you water in the desert. It's God who provided you deliverance from these situations. They're way bigger and stronger than you.
Yeah.
So do you want to do this on your own? And how did that work out for Saul in the Old Testament? You know, when things then failed, he ended up killing himself, which is, that's the alternative. Or do I lean into what God said and I can achieve? It's not about not achieving. I can live at a higher level and expect that, but I'm not moved. Psalm 16, I've set the Lord always before me because I'm constantly aware of his presence.
Yeah,
I will not be moved. I will not be shaken. And I would love to better say I'm always like that, but I'm very much still learning that.
So you've been listening to Shea Bynes and obviously myself. And now I want to encourage you to download the activation sheet and fill in where you are at and these different things that will help you identify a process of growing from living from performance, identity based in performance, to living from presence, identity based in knowing who I am. The result is increased peace, increased joy, increased flow, actually increased performance and productivity that is a joy rather than a striving, stressful grind, as Shay would say. So make sure you grab a hold of that. If you want more, grab the book, God With You at Work. You can find that on Amazon. It's by Andy Mason. And I trust and bless you to have a wonderful week.